with Elias. You just made the list.
And feel the power.
I am the game.
Welcome once again to the hottest pro wrestling podcast available to you. That's right. The Grabs on That Pro Wrestling Podcast is here, and I'm here with another exclusive interview. This time, my guest is referee James Greenwood from the British independent scene. He is one of the nicest, down-to-earth, honest guys that I've ever spoke to. This interview is amazing. We talk why it began. We talk Charles Robinson, of all referees. We talk Defiant Wrestling. We talk IPW. We talk Progress. This is an amazing interview. And it's one that needs to be heard by everyone. So enjoy. Sit back. Relax. Put your headphones on. Download. Subscribe. Leave those reviews, because those reviews are huge for me. They allow me to continue to bring you the best guests that I possibly can. The more reviews they leave, the bigger the guests. Who knows what Graps in That Podcast can get, but it can only happen with your help. That's right, guys, your help. And I'm so excited to grow with you. The key is that I grow with you, my fans, my audience. And remember, if you want to get involved, give me a shout at Graps in That on the Twitter. Guys, enjoy this episode. It's amazing. You're going to love referee James Greenwood. I love the guy. I think he's awesome. So, you know what? Why waste any more time? Let's get right to it. Here's referee James Greenwood debuting on the Grabs in That Podcast.
All right, boom. See me, yeah? Roy Johnson, yeah? AKA Big Wavy, yeah? And you're listening to Grabs in That, yeah?
So, I am here with referee James Greenwood, who has refereed for IPW, Defiant, Future Shock, TNT, and Hope Wrestling. So James, welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
And how you been? How's your day been?
It's not been too bad. Had quite a nice day compared to the usual tougher days. Been on a course with the day job, so a bit more relaxed.
Sure.
Usual, but yeah,
fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to out of your day, your life, to come on and chat to the Graps in That Podcast. I know you've been listening to a few recent episodes, most notably with the amazing Lucy Openshaw, who had a fantastic episode. Did you listen to that one?
I did. Lucy's was brilliant. I've also listened to the one with Magic Mark, Shane Taylor as well. I love the podcast, you know, it's really good.
Sure.
Quite interesting to hear viewpoints from other guys and to hear their stories as well, so it's great.
Thank you, it's really kind of you to say, and hopefully this is the first of many times we chat, and potentially I get to watch you count to three in the center of the ring at some point during your refereeing career. I'm looking forward to it. So James, let's not waste any time. Let's find out about you, and well, what made you first realize that you wanted to don the stripes and count to three?
To be honest, it was back when everyone always says to go back to when they were kids, but I remember watching WCW with my dad when I was like 9, 10 years old, about 99, 2000s. And I love Charles Robinson.
Yeah.
He had blonde floppy hair, and I had blonde hair, and I thought, I could do that. Because I knew I'd never be able to be a wrestler. Because I was a skinny little lad. And I thought, I can't be a wrestler. But I could do what he does. And he gets to see all the wrestling up front. He gets like the closest view. So I wanted to be like Charles Robinson. I loved WCW. Quite sad when it ended. We came to WWF because my dad didn't watch WWF. So it just ended up being me then carrying on watching it.
Right.
But then about 5 years ago, the PCW Academy opened up in Preston. And I spoke to the promoter there, Stephen Flooder, and I said, I want to be a referee. How do I do it? And he said, you've got to be a wrestler. I said, oh, Right. So that, that's... I thought you just do, you know, referee training, but obviously it makes sense. You need to train how to be a wrestler, or at least understand the mechanics and how it all works, so you can get a better understanding of being in the ring. So I always thought from then, right, I've got to try and get to a training place somewhere. I didn't have a car at the time. I couldn't really afford to travel to Preston. So I just kind of put it back in my mind. And then in 2016, was it? 2017, June time, Fighting Spirit opened its doors with James Drake and Gap's Zach Gibson.
And congratulations to them, by the way, on their recent NXT UK tag title win.
Bit of a big weekend at the weekend, didn't
Massive they? Weekend, yes. Sorry, please carry on.
No, that's good. So when they opened up, I thought, I'm not going to miss a chance here. It's literally 10 minutes down the road on my doorstep. Zach Gibson's an incredible wrestler. I didn't know much about James Drake at the time, but obviously I do now. And my brothers always loved it. My girlfriend loved it. And we thought, why don't we go down, see what it's like, and see what can happen. And we went down for a training session, and then the rest is history, really.
And it continued from there. Charles Robinson was a fantastic referee. He took some bumps, though, didn't he? And I'm sure that's what you're saying. You need to learn how to be a wrestler. You need to train to be a wrestler, to be a referee, because of the bumps. And that must be why.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Need to know how to kind of be in the right place at the right time, how to avoid being in the right place at the right time or being in the wrong place at the right time. And if you do get hit or need to get involved in some way, chances are you can get hurt. So you need to protect yourself and make sure you're going to be, you know, safe, really.
What was your, I mean, it's just quickly on Charles Robinson. I mean, I know him more frequently from when he jumped ship, but when the invasion angle in WWF, WCW, ECW took place. Obviously, he came across. What would you say was the best bump that you saw Charles Robinson take? I mean, he's taken many. I mean, there was one, I believe, I think he sold a punch from The Undertaker once, and he flew across the ring from a punch. I think that was fantastic. Comedy value, of course. I just remember seeing his blonde floppy hair just go flying with his body.
Well, that's it.
Is there one that stands out for you? Obviously, being a fan of his.
No, I can't think of anything in particular. I always remember the gif you see online of him running down the ring, the ramp, and sliding things right across the ring.
Well, that's the highlight then, isn't it? That is the one.
I've tried to do that. It doesn't work. I bang my head, legs on the side.
What's it like running down the ramp at speed? You said you've tried it, but actually getting that timing right. I mean, watching wrestlers hit the suicide dive, getting it perfect through the middle rope. So what's it like for a referee running at full speed down to the ring and sliding under the bottom rope? I mean, how have you got kneecaps left is my question.
it's not a natural thing to do. So every time I've had to do it, it hasn't been very smooth. Maybe I need to just take some time out and try running into a ring over and over again until I get used to it. But it's quite tricky to kind of time it, and especially because rings are different heights as well at different shows. You know, some are up to my waist, some are, you know, down by my knees. So it's different every time, really.
Absolutely. What you're going to need, actually, in the summer, you know, when it's so hot, and you can have those, you can spray water, hose water across one of them slide things that the kids play on. And you just run across the grass, slide on that. That's where you get your Charles Robinson effect. That's maybe good practice. I did it last year and it hurt. Actually, but anyway, moving on. 2018, James, was a massive year for you, and I've got a few stats here, and please quote me if I'm wrong. Okay, 24 promotions, 326 matches, 87 shows, and you refereed 295 different wrestlers. Wow. Can you share some of your favorite moments from those stats from 2018?
I just want to backtrack a little bit to that, because when it was 2017 and I'd been training with Fighting Spirit, and I'd done two shows with them, and I thought at the end of 2017, I thought, what can my goals be for 2018? I thought, I want to try and get to at least three promotions. And I thought, that might be quite hard. I might be able to do that. So I'm absolutely mind blown that people have trusted me over the past year to work in 24 different places. And that there have been so many huge moments for me. I mean, my first outside booking from Fighting Spirits, my first time I've been booked elsewhere, was to do the first 5-star TV show in Liverpool in the Echo Arena.
Right.
So I didn't make it to the TV taping as such, but I did the first dark match. So to have worked a wrestling match in my hometown arena was just absolutely incredible. I couldn't believe that I'd even get the chance to ever work in that arena when I've seen like WWE in there. We definitely, without James, doubt, would be doing... Quickly. Sorry?
Sorry, we lost you there just slightly. It just disappeared. So, apologies for that. So, but honestly, please continue. Please continue.
Okay. Yeah. So, getting the chance to do Impact when they came to the UK as part of Wrestling MediaCon, that was just again completely incredible to get the chance to work with, you know, guys from across the pond and getting feedback from like Lex of Sonjay Dutt, who was working on the show and producing it. And the main event that was Sami Callihan versus Jimmy Havoc in a death match, which was just insane. Being able to do Progress, I never thought I'd get to do Progress in my first year of wrestling, but I did a show in Manchester. Hopefully one day I'll be back there again.
Did you do that at the Ritz, can I ask?
Yes, it was at the O2 Ritz, yeah.
And that was obviously 2018, because that's the year we're talking about. Can you remember what chapter it was? Because I'm a subscriber to Progress, so I'll go and check it out.
It was chapter 78. Can't remember the subtitle of it, though.
That was not long ago.
November.
Wow, okay. And am I right in saying that... That was the show. Also, Lucy, when she was on the episode, she mentioned she was there. Was that the show that CCK faced LAX?
No, that was the show in the month later.
Okay, right.
It wasn't that one.
Okay, right.
That was Trent Seven beat Zach Gibson in 5 seconds, though.
That is the short banter. They had 10 minutes of banter. The 5 second, Atlas Championship, Atlas Open Challenge match. It was brilliant. Their banter is fantastic, but
it was so hard to keep a straight face as well. To be honest, when they're going off on each other.
Were you in the ring for that?
Yeah, I was in the ring the whole time because I expected the match to start, you know, quite quickly. But they just wanted to talk and banter off with each other, and you know, then Gibson got pinned. So.
How did you feel having to count three for your co-scouser, may I ask?
Well, it was his own fault, you know.
I'm sure if he's listening, hey, Zach, it was your own fault.
If I remember correctly, he told me to ring the bell. So I rang the bell and then he got took up by a crossbody. So, you know, it is his own fault.
He did. It was his own fault. Yeah, sorry, Zach. But actually, at NXT UK TakeOver, he's got his revenge there, didn't he? By walking out as NXT Tag Team Champions with James Drake, which was awesome. That being said, then, I've asked a few of my previous guests probably about Jim Smallman. I really like Jim. I've never met him, so it's difficult for me to say I really like him. He does in the ring. Who made the call to you then to get you involved in Progress?
For Progress, I think James Drake was the one who messaged me, and he said that John Briley had contacted him, said, could I do the show?
Okay.
So that was how that kind of came down. So I want to do this.
So it was the John Briley side of it that had got you involved and not Jim.
No, it was I had met Jim a couple of times at Future Shock shows.
Yeah.
But I think it's John who was the one who to get in touch with James Drake for that one. Because, you know, it was relatively local, perhaps. I'm not too sure. But
Sure.
Very great opportunity.
Let's hope that they pick the phone up again to you very soon. It'd be great to see you do more Progress shows. That'd be fantastic. Definitely. So, and congratulations to you for Those amazing stats, by the way, is very, very well deserved. So 2019 is going to be even bigger, though, I'm sure, for you. So,
gone for 400 matches this year.
Wow, blimey, crikey, that's how many? Well, on average, what's that going to be a day? Wow, that's going to be big, isn't it? It's going to be big. So good luck. And I'll tell you what, let's have this conversation in a year's time and see what you come up with. And I've got the stats written in front of me, so I will not forget. All right. So, I mean, one of my next questions for you, James, was going to be, did you have thoughts of becoming a pro wrestler and not a referee? I think you kind of answered that in the first instance with saying about Charles Robinson, and that was your way potentially in. Is that true? I mean, did you ever, when you were watching WCW, did you ever think I could do, you know, I could do what Goldberg does? I could do what Hogan, Sting, do you know what I mean? Or was always the black and white stripes that took, you know, that got your attention?
If anything, I'd have been a cruiserweight because I'm quite slim and fast. But when I've trained with Fighting Spirit, you know, I've kind of tried to do a bit more cruiserweighty bits and bobs. But I've always wanted to be a referee. I did train for a while with Fighting Spirit as a wrestler, because, you know, I obviously had to learn how to be safe and stuff. I've had training matches and things like that. But generally, always wanted to be a referee. And I told Drake and Gibson that, like, the first day, first session, was like, I want to be a ref. They went, all right. So that's kind of just kept going from there, really.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You've refereed some extreme matches. Obviously, again, you've learned how to take bumps. But if it comes to the Jimmy Havocs, the Drew Parkers, those types of matches, and we're talking the death matches, A, have you refereed any death matches? And B, what's it like potentially having to take a bump in those matches? Are you afraid to do so? You know, can it so easily go wrong? You know, they look like they do hurt. I mean, people tell me every day pro wrestling's fake, but it's really not. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, are you afraid to take a bump in a death match? Is really what I'm trying to ask.
I'd rather not take one, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I've had Dan Evans, for example, hit me with chairs at two different shows now. So it's not fun.
No.
But I mean, The likes of Havoc, actually. I did a match at Defiant, and it was Chris Brooks and Kaylee Ray versus Haskins and Havoc, just a regular tag team match. But they were brawling before the bell rang, and I got taken out with a penalty kick, suicide dive, a kick to the balls, repeatedly throughout the match. So, you know, I've taken some bumps in that sense. But in regards to a death match, I haven't really taken anything like that. I don't particularly, I wouldn't fancy being put through a table or going into the pins and attacks. I mean, I've seen up close, it was a death match between Chris Ridgway and Drew Parker.
Yes.
And Ridgway, it was at Tuesday Night Graps, and Ridgway just had a pair of scissors and drew them across Drew's head. And I was just like, well, that's that doesn't appeal to me. I'd rather he didn't do that to me. Please keep it away.
No, they should be in a kitchen drawer, really, shouldn't they?
But Drew Parker loves his scissors, so.
I saw an image of Drew Parker's back, I think it was last night, on Twitter. And he, you know, he acknowledged that he was going to hurt in the morning. It was just covered in blood. He was just cut to pieces. I'm not sure who he'd wrestled. So, Drew, if you're listening, apologies. But man, that's some real stuff that goes on there. It really, really is.
It's all real. I don't understand how, you know, the likes of Drew's and Jimmy's pain tolerances are so high, because I couldn't comprehend it, even having it scissors drawn across my head, or, you know, landing on a load of pins and things like that. The thing I worry about most is counting a three count on a load of pins.
But you just took my next question from me. Yeah, you just took the next question from me for that, because I just thought of that, but you've answered it. Glass, pins in your hands. So you fear counting for three in a death match when you've got pins and glass potentially down. So what do you have to do? Do you just have to adjust your position, or just get over it and just count?
Well, I mean, normally I have like a pair of barbed wire gloves in my bag just in case of a match like this.
Sure.
So they've helped in the past, but the match with Sami Callihan and Jimmy Havoc at Impact, my gloves had gone missing earlier on in the day, and there were pins over the ring. The finish for that came with Jimmy doing a top rope, like double foot stomp, but he'd had his shoes taken off by Sami Callihan, so he just kind of double stomped right into the pins. So where, and then he got pile drived into the pins. So I kind of had to just count where the pins were. Luckily, I just kind of counted and hoped for the best. And I somehow managed to miss the pins in my hand, but I think I would have just had to have just taken it and just kept counting, really.
Yeah.
Hope they turned and kicked instead.
No. What's the, I mean, what's the worst move that you've had done to you? What's the, well, what I'm saying is, what's the worst bump you've had to take? So the move that maybe hurts the most?
I'm not sure, you know.
Because it's all about landing and timing, and I appreciate that. So a PK, if the timing's not right or the kick pads aren't, you know, adjusted right, I can see that, that's going to hurt. It sounds like it hurts. But also, a power bomb must be, a generic power bomb must be pretty hard, you know.
I've not taken a power bomb in the ring as such. I mean, I took. Actually, I'll tell you which one I did take, and that wasn't through a match as such. We were filming some bits for Five Star before it started. The ring crew came down to... sorry, the TV crew came down to Fighting Spirit. And there's me and one other lad, and we had to get in the ring with Zach Gibson to have a little like, exhibition as such. And I took Gibson's finish, the Helter Skelter. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, the suplex, the twist and suplex, the Rainbuster.
Yeah.
What, that hurts.
Really? Because that's almost on that right on the bridge of your. That's that's right on the bridge of your neck, isn't it? That landing by the looks of it.
Because you're upside down, you're twisting, you don't know where you are, and honestly, that really, I can see why it puts people away with it. So yeah, but that's probably the worst. One I've taken that hurt the most, but also just kind of just being hit in the head with a chair. There's no two ways about that. You know, if someone's swinging a chair at you or throwing a chair at you, it hurts.
Yeah.
Whether you get hands up in time to try and stop it, you know, it's still going to hurt your arms, hurt your hands, you know, to try and stop the full force hitting you, but it hurts.
I mean, I've done the odd garden ladder match on mattress when I was about 14 before. It was a step ladder, so it wasn't really. But even that hurts. You get that wrong. I used to love Rob Van Dam, RVD, and I used to love hitting a five star frog splash. And me and my friend did this angle in the garden once. Yes, remember we were 13, 14. We had two of my dad's painting step ladders, and I put the step ladder on him, and I went to hit the five star frog splash, and he'd moved, so I just landed on the ladder. I like to think I was a semi-pro at the time, obviously, as you all do. It hurt, man. That hurt. So I've got the utmost respect for every single man, woman, referee everywhere in the world that steps into the squared circle and takes any sort of bump. I have the utmost respect for it. And that is why I watch this sport, I suppose, because it's just... freaking awesome, let's put it that way. Jay, it is. No, please carry on.
I was gonna say, like, you're right, like the wrestlers, the superheroes, like the way they can take these hits day and night, you know, and do a show again the day after or a couple of days later, it's incredible. Like, bow down to them, honestly.
I know, it's incredible. It really is something to just respect. That is the only word that can sum it up. It is respect. And I know a lot of people don't appreciate what they do. And they don't feel that it's real. It really is, because actually that's their body in the ring. And they get, and that's their profession. You know, movies aren't real, but people go hype for movies. So why not those that are actually risking their lives, getting in the ring? Anything that goes wrong can end your career. And can end a pay packet, you know.
Definitely.
Which we'll talk about you slightly. painting the picture for the listeners here, know you in your black and white stripes and counting to three. What they may not know is your profession. You're actually a school teacher, which is fantastic. Hats off to you for that. Again, respect to you for that. Do your students, do they know about your, let's put it this way, your alter ego, being a school teacher by day, a referee by night? And the reason I ask this is because what intrigues me is Eddie Dennis has gone from being a head teacher to one of the best, strongest wrestlers in the whole of the UK, and he's going to be known all over the world soon. But you know, you're in a similar situation to Eddie Dennis. I mean, do your students know that you step in a squared circle of an evening?
As far as I know, no. I don't think they've got a clue, to be honest. In the current school I'm in, anyway.
Okay.
They know I like wrestling because I've got a WWE watch I leave on my table to kind of keep time in class. I've had it for a while, so just kind of leave it on the table. And every so often they go, "Ah, that watch is cool, sir." It's like, "Yeah, thanks." And so, but wrestling's rubbish, though, isn't it? It's fake. And it's like,
oh. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Wrestling's rubbish. What wrestling's fake. This? What? Yeah. What do kids care?
about wrestling? I think it depends on like the area though, because my last school, all the kids loved it. So it just depends on kind of the area, I suppose, where the kids are brought up in. But in my last school, some of the kids kind of knew in the older year groups. They'd think they'd saw me on the five-star show. They went to Decca Arena to see it because it was down the road. But in this school, they haven't really found out yet. I'm sure inevitably will, one day they will. Not at the moment.
Well, one day, like you just said, I'm sure they will, and I'm sure they'll give you the respect that you deserve for what you do, because it's a living that you're making. Your day life, and I'm assuming your hours are something like 8 till 5, and then you travel maybe half an hour to these venues to do something else that you love. So respect from me, and I'm sure the listeners will have a lot of respect for you as well, because it's not easy to do long days, especially in your profession, which I've never done, especially in your profession, to then go and re-motivate yourself of that evening, no matter what issues you may have going on, what other commitments you've got going on, but you're earning a living for you and yours. So respect to you for that, James. So well done.
I think it helps as well, like, you know, it may seem hard, especially when you're driving to a show and you're stuck in peak traffic time going from school to a show. But at the same time, because I love wrestling so much, it doesn't seem like a chore. You know what I mean? It's exciting me to get to the show because I know I'm going to have a good time. Hopefully I'm not going to get injured or take a power driver or something, not be able to drive home. But, you know, I love teaching. I love wrestling as well, and I'm lucky that I get to do both of the things I love to do. So, yeah, I'm quite happy.
But you've worked hard for it. You have worked hard for that, and you've put yourself in that position. So basically, you keep it up, keep up the good work, and I can't wait to see you referee in person, because I know I'm going to get to a lot more indie shows over the next 18, 24 months. That's for sure. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I'll definitely say hey as well. So as long as you don't clothesline me in the ring, that'd be good.
No, just say me.
So just for those that are listening, what have you got lined up? If you can tell us, what have you currently got lined up in 2019? So where can we find you refereeing?
For the next couple of months, I've got quite a few Future Shock shows based around Manchester, Prestwich and Stockport. Okay. We've got one show this Sunday in the Stockport Guildhall. And it's the last ever show in the Guildhall for Future Shock. That's where they first started 15 years ago. So it's kind of like a bittersweet, you know, show for them. But we've got No Fun Done making his debut.
Wow.
Yeah, that should be great because, you know, doesn't like any fun.
Great. Love that. That's a great impression.
And then we've also got a midweek show with Sugar Dunkerton. And a couple of weeks after that, we've got Pac and Ilya Dragunov coming to Future Shock, which will be brilliant.
That will be brilliant, by the way. Yeah. Those guys, I was just going to say Pac, and I shouldn't, because that's no disrespectful to Ilya. Ilya's fantastic.
Oh, he's brilliant.
I mean, since coming to the UK from XWX, facing Dunn at Progress Wembley, he seems to have surfaced more and more in the UK, and it's brilliant. But also with Pac, you can see, and I've met Pac. I met him at a Rev Pro show not too long ago. What a nice guy. What a nice guy. And I've just watched his match with David Starr from Defiant.
Defiant. Yeah, it's brilliant, wasn't it?
That was fantastic. On the subject of Defiant, actually, you've refereed for Defiant, haven't you?
Yeah, they've got a show in Manchester as well on the 9th of February, Unstoppable, the big pay-per-view show.
Are you going to be there?
I will be in some way, shape or form.
Okay, fantastic. Okay.
Definitely.
I will, I'm just going to make a note of something for that. Yeah, so I'm not being rude. as we're recording, you've just given me something I need to ask you when we're off air, actually, about maybe potentially about Unstoppable. So obviously, Future Shock Defiant. Just tell us a little bit about IPW.
Oh, IPW, Tuesday Night Graps. Yeah. Tuesday Night Graps is the most incredible, insane 3 hours of your life.
And Magic Mark Adams told me this.
Right, yeah, Mark.
Yeah. Well, Mark, what's he like?
Oh, he's brilliant. I love Mark. He's
what a lovely, lovely chap he is.
He really is.
Yeah.
I'm driving with him to the Hope shows because they're about a 3 hour drive from us. So I drive, pick him up, and take him down.
Okay.
He's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. He's taught me a lot in the last few weeks, to tell you that.
No fun done won't like him, will he?
No.
that's your fault. That was your fault. You put me onto that. I won't do the impression because, unfortunately, I'm a little bit croaky and I'd probably end up just choking myself. So I'll save it for next time we talk. I'll tell you what, if we ever meet in person, the first thing I'll say to you is no fun. Nah.
There you go. You've done it.
Yeah. There you go. Tried it. A little bit croaky, but we tried it. But so back to 2019. Sorry, because we went on to TNT and Future Shock and Defiant. Back to 2019 and your early plans, obviously, what you've got coming up. Sorry.
Yeah. So we've got a few Hope shows as well. I should be at most of the Hope shows throughout the year. So they're in Leicester and Mansfield Town, I think.
Brilliant.
It is. So look on the Hope Facebook page for all the details for them. And we've also got This Is Wrestling. We're moving to a new venue in Ormskirk on the 10th of February. And we're actually going to crown our first champion there.
Wow, and okay.
It's a scramble match. And I love scramble matches and haven't had the chance to referee one yet. So I'm really looking forward to seeing who's going to be the champion at the end of those 20 minutes or 50 minutes, or however it's going to be.
Are you going to be refereeing the scramble match?
I will be, yes.
Oh, fantastic. Congratulations. I bet. I'm excited for you, actually. You just said you love a scramble. You've never refereed a scramble, and you are going to referee a scramble. Let us know.
Champion as well.
Definitely, let us know. Who's involved in the match? Can you share that, or is that not completely...
I think qualified for it at the moment is... Oh, I can't think off the top of my head. I think there's going to be five guys. I know there's at the start of the show, there's going to be a battle royal with anyone who's been involved with this wrestling in the past who can join in it. And they will get the last spot in the scramble match in the main event. But I think the other people qualified are Ethan Allen from Manchester Future Shock Academy.
Yeah.
Wait. Just trying to get the...
I must say, I've just found it. I have found it.
Oh, yeah. Philip Michaels. Philip Michaels has been undefeated at This Is Wrestling all year. He's absolutely brilliant. Yeah, I think he's got a big future ahead of him.
Yeah.
Sonny Dursun.
He looks like a young Sheamus.
He does a little bit on the graphic.
Yeah. Right?
Sonny Dursun, and he's on for a breakout year, to be honest. He's
sure.
matched every single match he's done at Future Shock over last year, have been match of the year contenders. And he's going to be the one facing against Pac at Future Shock as well. So there's Sonoderson, Ethan Allen, I'd say, who's been on absolute tier for the last year since he debuted. I was actually the referee in his first match at Fighting Spirit. And Babyface Pitbull, who, you know, he has a lot of underhanded tactics. So it could be anyone's. Any of these guys are, would be a deserving champion, I think.
That's going to be really exciting for you, so isn't it? Can I ask, and again, if you can't answer it, please don't. Don't want to get you in any trouble with any of your employers. How much notice are you given to A, be at a show, and to B, what matches? So how long is it for them to tell you what matches you're going to referee that night? If you're going to referee every match or just one match that night, or, you know, how long is it, 3 weeks before? Just enlighten us if you can.
So if someone contacted me to, you know, work for a show for them, that can be from anywhere up to a couple of months before. And I mean, for example, now I've got all the dates for Hope for the rest of the year, so I know what band for Future Shock and this wrestling, so I know when all those dates are going to be. Some of the companies might be a week before, some of them might be a few days before, like, you know, the referee's fallen ill, or, you know, they've had to pull out for whatever reason, they need someone in an emergency. I've even had some on the day kind of in an emergency situation say, can you get down to our show tonight? And it's like, yeah, great, got my stuff in my car, I'll be there, you know, as soon as I finish school I'll start driving down. In regards to what matches I'm going to be doing, that can be anything really. Usually, for most of the shows I've done, I have been the only referee. So therefore, now I'm going to be the only one doing all the matches. And this is wrestling, I'm the only referee as well. So I know come that night, it'll just be me anyway. Sure. But for example, like Future Shock, there's two or three of us, which is nice because it means I get a bit of a break. I get to kind of see what's going on with the rest of the show sometimes, which is really good as well. And that'll be kind of a couple of hours before on the day. The promoter will say, well, I'm going to assign you to this match, you to this match, you to this match, for whatever reason. So usually we have a referee, Pete. He usually does the first opening match of all the shows. Just is what it is. So, you know, we know Pete's usually going to be the opener, but then otherwise the rest of the show will kind of just go wherever we need to be. Yeah. Wherever we get to all three, that's what we do.
Brilliant, amazing. A couple more questions for you, James. Again, refereeing. I am a big fan of Joel Allen, Suplex Apparel. Joel, he's just refereed the main event of NXT UK TakeOver.
Yeah.
Watching Joel referee fascinates me. His mannerisms, asking for breakage of holds, his facial expressions, his pointing, his ring positioning. How is that hard to pick up? Is he good? Is he that good? Or does he sort of make that up? Is that a part of the facial expressions? Do you make that up? Or is your promoter asking? How does that work?
I don't know. In regards to myself, I've noticed a lot more on photos recently that I'm wincing a lot more at moves and things. I look a bit more horrified at certain things. I don't know if that's just become natural for me or what. Maybe it's because I'm just reacting naturally to what's happening in the ring. But Joel is absolutely incredible. I mean, I even noticed something the other day that I hadn't even thought of doing. And I think it was when Joe Coffey and Pete Dunne kind of started squaring up to each other. And he was kind of getting in the middle and he's saying, wait for the bell, for the bell. I thought, what a brilliant thing to say. Like, normally I just kind of get in the middle and go, come on. But of course, wait for the bell. It's just, he's been doing it a long time, but, you know, he's absolutely brilliant. He fully deserves to be where he is right now.
Mm. And he's hench.
Big strong boy. He's given me a lot of good advice as well in the past. Joel and Chris Sharp and Chris Roberts, they've all given me, especially Chris Sharp, I've spent a lot of time with him. You know, and he's been doing NXT UK and he's doing a lot of NXT US at the moment while he's back in America. you know, these guys, so like Steve Linsky as well, they've all given me a lot of their time in the past. And I've learned a lot from them, you know, how my position should be, how I should keep myself stood up in the ring, how I should be more assertive and more authoritative, because I should be. You know, I am the referee. I'm the one who decides whether the match is going to continue or end and if they're going to get, you know, the winner's purse at the end of the match. So, you know, they've kind of helped me understand that a bit more. And, you know, obviously that's how I learn and how I get better and hopefully continue to one day be at their level, to be on the likes of World of Sport or be on the likes of NXT UK and whatnot.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's good. And you know where you want to be, and it's really good to hear. So thank you for sharing that. You mentioned Chris Roberts just there. I've seen him ref at Progress and Rev Pro, but we've just seen Chris Roberts referee for New Japan inside the Tokyo Dome, refereeing for Zack Sabre Jr. versus Tomohiro Ishii for the British Rev Pro title. And then we also saw him referee at New Year's Dash the night after. And I believe it would have been the match that Zack Sabre Jr. was involved in. And I can't remember what I meant. I was watching New Year's Dash, but I couldn't remember what tag match he was reffing. But the reason I bring this up is that's a big stage for a referee, the Tokyo Dome. I mean, I know what your answer will probably be, but I've got to ask it anyway. What would the biggest stage that you would like to referee at? You could pick any show, any pay-per-view, any arena.
Yeah.
If I give you that layout and promotion, I'm not going to upset anyone. Share it with us.
Well, every single year I see a photo on Facebook or Twitter, and it's of all the referees stood on the stage at WrestleMania. You know, when they have the, every year they have the most incredible stage, don't they?
Yeah.
And before the show, they have all the referees take a photo together. And for the last 5-6 years, I thought, I want to be in one of those photos one day. I want to be on that stage with all the other, you know, Zebras, brothers and sisters in arms underneath the WrestleMania sign. If it could be anywhere in the world, you know, ideally Wembley, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
That would be pretty awesome. Yes.
Bring a WrestleMania London or WrestleMania UK, you know, I mean, I'm only down the road. X's are going to be cheap. Come on.
Start National Express. National Express return for that, 20 quid. No, brilliant. I'm, you know, not being ignorant here, but I assumed you'd say WrestleMania. Obviously, I know you're you do watch your WWE. I think that would be a dream for anyone. But hats off to Chris Roberts for the Tokyo Dome. Fantastic achievement. Massive.
It's an inspiration that, you know, a UK ref, an English ref, can get an international booking on such a huge platform as well. You know,
I mean,
it makes it feasible that I could possibly one day reach a stage where someone might actually want me to go abroad to work for them is absolutely incredible. So well done to Chris for nailing that.
38,000 people this year at the Tokyo Dome, and he's refereed in front of them,
isn't it?
That's fantastic numbers. So who knows, one day WrestleMania London may be your destination. And I hope, and I really mean this, I really, really hope that your hard work, which I'm sure it will pay off. Yes, I understand that time is always going to be of essence. It may just be that one phone call. You may be at work, you may get this text message saying, James, there's an opportunity here for you. You bite the bullet and you go for it. It's a 50-50 chance, isn't it? It's either going to work or it's not. But I'm sure whatever happens, wherever, you'll brush yourself down and you'll just continue doing what you're doing. And just by speaking to you for however long we've been chatting for this episode, you're a genuinely nice guy. I wish you all the best. I'm pretty sure the listeners would say exactly the same. And it's been fantastic. So before we finish and another amazing episode of the Grabs and That podcast, I just want to say thank you. I do wish you all the best for 2019 and beyond. God, I sound like Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story there. this is a PG-friendly show. It can be, I suppose. But where can we find you on the social media, James?
So Twitter and Instagram is at Jay Greenwood Ref. And yeah, that's it really. Brilliant. With regards to Facebook, I've kind of got to keep it locked down because of my, you know, day job.
Your profession, absolutely. Appreciate that. And that's the one that, you know, look, absolutely.
Instagram and Twitter, really. But it's only wrestling related business on there.
Absolutely, yeah. As is mine. So fantastic. James, thank you so much from the listeners. Really, it's been great. It's been great. And like I said at the start, this is your time you've taken out to be on the episode, to be on the show. I'm really looking forward to meeting you and speaking again. So if you've got anything else you'd like to add, any shout outs, anything you want to give, now's the time. I've put you on the spot. I know I've put you on the spot.
Just thanks for having me on. Pleasure. It's been interesting to do. I've never done a podcast before, so it's you know, wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. But just thank you to everyone who's kind of worked with me, over all 295 wrestlers, all the promotions, all the people who give me support, because, you know, it makes me realise that I am doing what I'm doing, you know, not too bad. And, you know, hopefully I can keep reaching my dreams. But then what I can do is if people keep saying, oh, put him on, he's a good ref. And, you know, so thanks to, you know, Fighting Spirit and James Drake, Zach Gibson, Chris Sharp, who've given me so much training and advice. And yeah, thanks everyone, really.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. They sure are. It's one big wrestling family community, and that's why the sport is so good. That's why the professional wrestling world is amazing. So James, from me, from the listeners, from Graps and that, massive thank you. 2019 is going to be a massive year for you. I wish you all the best, but from me, thank you.
Thank you.